This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thank God for the Knicks last night. Not because I wanted them to win, but just because I wanted some sort of basketball this weekend to watch. Playoff implications. The Knicks beat the Pacers last night to extend the Eastern Conference Finals. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Kevin's off until Wednesday, I found out. I told everybody Monday yesterday. Well, I'm going to be back on Monday yesterday, so congratulations to all of us. I was watching this game last night, Max. I was excited about this game. I think this series is incredibly compelling, significantly more so than the Western Conference Finals. The games have been significantly better than the Western Conference Finals.
By far.
And despite the fact that I would consider this a blowout, I mean a nearly 20-point win for the New York Knicks, I enjoyed watching this game significantly more than I have enjoyed watching a majority of the games in the Western Conference Finals. Not all of them, because there were a few good ones in there, but most of them sucked. This one, at the very least, did not, because Jalen Brunson saved the day. I just wanted a game on Saturday. That's all I wanted. I don't like the Knicks. They are very clearly, to me, the villain in the equation here.
Sure.
They are the big team, backed by the big market, with the big celebrities, many of whom I have learned are softer than Charmin, which we will get into momentarily. But I just needed something on Saturday to look forward to from a sporting event perspective. I will watch a little bit of college baseball. I'll definitely lock into some college softball. The College Softball World Series is actually one of my favorite events during the summer. I think the overall presentation of it is fantastic. I don't watch softball regularly, but I do love watching the playoff and the tournament style. Oklahoma yesterday, huge walk-off. My boy Chris Plank over there, who calls Oklahoma games, had a hell of a call. But I needed basketball on Saturday, and I'm very happy that the Knicks were able to at least give me that. And you get another raucous environment in Indiana coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's good basketball. Like, there's just no replacement for it. And especially because with the NHL playoffs getting, we're moving
wrapped
to,
up.
Yeah, they're wrapping up very quickly. We're getting the Stanley Cup final rematch. So there's not a lot on this weekend. So I needed something to sink my teeth into. And this series has been, I want it to go seven. Scott Foster's done a great job.
Thank you to Scott Foster.
As the extender. Thank you, Adam Silver. Thank you, Scott Foster.
He needs to put that. I don't know that Scott Foster is on Twitter. In fact, I'd prefer that he not be on Twitter. I don't need the insights into the mind of Scott Foster on a regular basis. But if he did have a UFC style or a WWE style nickname, I think the extender would be a pretty good one. Scott the Extender Foster. Maybe the extender Scott Foster. Just do the nickname first and the full name second there, because that is basically what his job is. I don't think he's a great official. In fairness, I don't know that I could name a great official.
Yeah.
Certainly not today. In fact, it's better that you can't. The best officials are the ones where I don't recognize. I don't know their name. I don't know what they look like. I don't know how they make calls. Scott Foster is the opposite. It really started because of Chris Paul, and it is carried over to more than just Chris Paul. Now that Chris Paul in the overall NBA zeitgeist is not that relevant, but when Scott Foster comes into playoff games, you know that this series, if it is an elimination game, and it's not a game seven, is getting extended. If Scott Foster is officiating a game seven, I mean, you talking to old Dumbo ears over there and Adam Silver being like, why are you putting Scott Foster on a game seven? I don't need the biggest well-known official officiating a game seven. I want superstars. I don't need officiating superstars. I don't really think officiating has been spectacular throughout the course of this series. It feels like they don't really have an understanding of consistency, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to sit here and complain about officiating in a game that I don't really care about. I do find it annoying when everyone does it on social media, but Knicks fans are going to be Knicks fans. They're new to this. They don't understand how to behave in these sorts of scenarios. Everything that happens to them is the worst thing in the world. Everything that happens to the other team is deserved. We've done this song and dance before. I don't really care to get into the ins and outs of officiating, but I do want to get into the ins and outs of Jalen Brunson because he was fantastic. Okay. You needed a Brunson game, and this was a Brunson game. You kind of got one in game one, and then they squandered it when he had like 40. But this was exactly the kind of performance you needed. He was efficient. He showed the best elements of what it is to watch Jalen Brunson play. Because when he is at his best, he is a really, really good player in the NBA. And I don't know if this is my personal biases coming into the equation, Max, even though as it relates to basketball, I do not fall in this category. But I love lefties.
Yeah,
watching left-handed guys play basketball, there's something about it. I think there's a dynamic to it that makes it a little bit more difficult to defend. Now, if you're in the NBA, you should be able to defend whoever.
Correct.
But there is a little bit of an extra beauty when a left-handed person does something that right-handed people do on a regular basis, just because it is so out of the ordinary. I don't shoot a basketball left-handed, although there were points in my life where I taught myself to shoot a basketball.
Good for you.
Left-handed, but I do write left-handed. I'm one of those weirdos where with most sports, not that I play a lot of sports anymore at the age of 30 years old, unless anyone has an open spot on their intramural ultimate frisbee team, hit me up. Most sports, though, I am right-handed, but I write with my left hand. So I have a special place in my heart for the lefties like Jalen Brunson, and New York clearly has a special place in their heart for him. He's the greatest Nick since Ewing. And if they get to the finals, you'll be starting to push that conversation, particularly if they win the thing, which I don't think that they will. This seems like the Thunder's finals to wrap up regardless of who they play. But if Jalen Brunson wins the NBA Finals, he's the greatest New York Knicks since at least Walt Frazier. Like, you have to go way, 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 way back.
In terms of success, I would agree with you, but man, Carmelo.
I mean, the Melo thing is kind of a tough thing to overcome, especially for those of us that are our age.
Yeah.
Because there is a special place.
Yeah, so much reverence for that.
I mean, Carmelo is I don't think you can properly understand the love that our generation has for Carmelo Anthony.
Universal.
Unless you are a part of our generation. Because it really started with Denver, the Denver Melo, and then when he came to New York, and he had some crazy games on Sundays, man.
That homecoming video that he put out when he was going to the Knicks, still gives me chills to this
day. It's just a thing of beauty. Like, that game against, this is so random because who cares about regular season basketball, but that game against the Bulls on a Sunday in March of, like, 2011, why do I know that? It's not important. But he hits a game-tying shot as the buzzer ends regulation, and then another one in the grill of Luol Deng. That was when the NBA Sunday basketball used to mean something to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they would have a 3:30 tip-off, and it's like a Knicks, and that's when Steve Novak was on the team. It was like Melo, Amari Stoudemire, Jeremy Lin, and Steve Novak after Linsanity. Pre-Linsanity was a completely different story. But those used to mean something. Now I just couldn't care less. So it does hurt a little bit to say that Jalen Brunson might be the greatest Nick since Ewing over Carmelo Anthony, but I do think at this point it's coming close to fruition because this dude, he's a scoring machine.
Yeah. They flashed a graphic on the screen. I don't think it was last night. I think it was the game before. The net rating with Jalen Brunson off the floor was like 18 or plus 18. When he was on the floor, it was minus 11. So I'm glad to see that he is kind of taking step, or, you know, had that game to kind of turn that stat around so they could, you know, not worry about the graphic as much. But yeah, Brunson is just, they're so fun.
He just controls the game.
Especially when it gets down to like under 10 minutes of the fourth quarter, he's like, all right, guys, it's my time.
Like, ain't nobody else shooting the ball. We're not giving this to OG Anunoby, who went 3 of 14. You're not shooting the ball in the fourth quarter with less than 10 minutes, certainly not less with 5 minutes to go. We made the jokes all the time, and it wasn't a joke. It was a real thing. When Damian Lillard was at the peak of his powers, it was Dame time. Jalen Brunson might be able to steal that away because when it's under 5 minutes, it's Jalen time. Not that it really mattered in the fourth quarter because the lead was so large at that point, but you just know in the final few minutes of the game that Brunson is the guy that's going to be taking the shot, and you trust him more than literally anyone else on the floor. It was a good game for Karl Anthony Towns as well. He had 24. I still don't like watching him play basketball. I apologize. I just think he should be so much better than he is. Now, it's bad for me to say that when he had 24 and 13 because this was a really good cat game. I just wish he was so much better than he was. it's a personal thing. It will never not be a personal thing, Max, until he wins the MVP. Because that's why I don't like him.
Good luck.
I mean, exactly. But that's why I don't like him. He was coming out of college in Kentucky. I'm holding way too deep onto this grudge, and I fully understand that. It's not even. It's literally not even his fault.
I respect a good grudge, Dan.
It was just the talking heads in the media where they declared him a future MVP before he'd even played. Mm-hmm. It's my least favorite thing that's done by talking heads in all of sports when you start calling guys, oh, future MVP, and you have no idea. The same thing was done to Joel Embiid, but I had to shut up because he actually won the thing. But Carl Anthony Towns is not. He played really well, though, 24 and 13 for him. Those were the two superstars for the New York Knicks. I do want to get to something before I start lambasting the guy that I was told was a superstar that I knew was not a superstar that then decided to validate my points on the other side of the sideline. But I do want to get to something from last night. I love Charles Barkley with my entire heart. He is one of the best guys on television because he does not care. He will say whatever he wants. He will do whatever he wants. And he doesn't really care if he's punished. In fact, he doesn't really get punished. He just lives by his own whim. And I love that about him. Sometimes it gets a little odd. This is Chuck yesterday on the court, NBA on TNT, hanging out with Carl Anthony Towns. Listen to this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're the only basketball player I know got good-looking feet.
Hey, man. Shout out to my mama, man.
Okay. Damn.
24 points, 13 rebounds on the night in a game you absolutely have.
God bless Ernie Johnson.
Way to move on, Ernie.
I mean, Charles Barkley pulling a Rex Ryan over here, just staring right into the toes of Carl Anthony Towns, who, if you want to defend Chuck in this scenario, you're more than welcome to. I'm not going to judge you.
301-230-0980.
I mean, if you want to start defending guys for looking at each other's feet, go right ahead. I would just make assumptions about your credit card bill and where some of that money goes. But he's just looking right at the feet of Carl Anthony Towns, and Towns didn't have socks on, which I guess maybe he is to blame for that one. He just walked out, toes out. I can't be mad. I don't have socks on right now. My wife got me Birkenstocks for my birthday, and they're very uncomfortable with socks. They rub up. Mm-hmm. They cause blisters. I don't need any of those sorts of things at my age now. So Cat was just sitting there, toes out, and Charles Barkley commenting on his toes. That's Rex Ryan-esque.
Yeah.
It's very Rex Ryan-esque.
I heard very briefly somebody, I don't know if it was Kenny or Shaq, but I heard a,
Yeah, caught himself a little bit. They're like, wait, we're on television. But at this point, you might as well. I mean, if you think that Game 6 is the end of this, which I do, Indiana's going to win Game 6. They're going to go to the NBA Finals. It's going to be the Thunder and the Pacers. So if Game 6 is the end of it, that is going to be the end of NBA on TNT. And I fully understand that they are going to move to ESPN. Not going to be the same.
No.
It's not going to be the same.
The one thing I know about the Mouse is that they like to let their employees do as they please.
And the mothership is going to shoehorn a bunch of different voices into that program, whether that be Stephen A. I mean, I like Mike Wilbon. Maybe they shoehorn Mike Wilbon into it, but they're going to start to put their hands on this sort of product that doesn't need to be adjusted. You just need to let them have free reign, but it's something that that particular company has not done a very good job on when it comes to television, but they desperately need it. I don't know that you have watched any of the ESPN coverage, Max, leading up to Western Conference Finals games.
I've made an effort not to.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's really, really not good. I mean, they talk about other things. I understand that you're paying Stephen A. Smith an abundance of money, but making him the superstar where we are talking about his outfits rolling up to game and how he reacted to Knicks' loss when you're previewing the Western Conference Finals, like, it is just a mess at times. And I'm terrified of what they're going to end up doing to NBA on TNT. So the idea that we're going to lose NBA on TNT, less than a week, or I guess more than a week, it'll be a week and a day after we lose Around the Horn, It feels like my childhood is getting disintegrated.
It's being ripped from you.
In front of me. Two shows that I hold very dear to my heart because they're fun. They're entertaining. Like, I can't stay up and watch the post-game show for NBA on TNT now just because I wake up at, 4:34 sharp every single morning. But at points in my life where I did not have to wake up at 4:30, you're constantly watching that after games. The game could suck. It could have been a 50-point blowout between, like, the Mavericks and the Trailblazers in 2016, and it didn't matter. You're just staying up there in college with your boys, with the homies, and y'all are shooting it about some hoops, and then you're listening to those guys talk about some hoops. So the fact that we're losing that on TNT stinks. You know what else stinks? Tyrese Haliburton stunk last night. He was awful. Just really not good. And this is a little bit of a common theme with Tyrese Haliburton. There's been a conversation surrounding him on whether he is a superstar or not. And he's such a weird and wonky guy to adequately judge with a critical lens, because you had that performance in game number 4 where he was unbelievable. First time in NBA history, a guy went for 30, 15, and 10 with no turnovers. When your primary ball handler is dishing out 15 assists and not turning the ball over, that seems impossible. But he was able to do that. In fact, when he originally burst onto the scene in the NBA in-season tournament last year, it was for stat lines like that. There were how many games was he having massive double-doubles or even triple-doubles and not turning the basketball over. It made you want to watch the NBA in-season tournament. If not, I didn't care about the trophy. I didn't care about how the tournament and the landscape of the tournament. I just wanted to see Tyrese Haliburton more frequently, and Indiana was forced to be on national television because of the tournament. So that was sick. Game 4, he was sick. He stunk last night. And this conversation about, is he a superstar, is he not a superstar? If he played in a bigger market, or if he was an actual superstar, he's getting James Harden crucified today. Because last night was a James Harden game. You had an opportunity in New York as a WWE kind of guy on the court. Week ago, you're doing the choke sign after you hit this crazy shot in game number 1. You had an opportunity to put the New York Knicks away in front of Spike Lee, in front of Tim Chalamet, and whichever Jenner he is dating. Kylie, I think it is.
Kylie. Oh, have you heard that stat? Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner are 2-0 when they're both in the building.
I would think the Knicks would want Kylie Jenner in the building for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, if I'm Timmy C, I'm saying, hey, honey, I know you got a billion-dollar makeup company. I know you got probably a couple photo shoots, but you're coming to Indiana for
you got to get here as soon as possible. But he had this opportunity to stick the knife in their chest and look them in the eye, and instead what we get from Haliburton in 32 minutes, 2 of 7. 8 points. It's a James Harden stat. But the crazy thing is, this is not the first, and it will not be the last time he has a stat like that. In nearly every single postseason series that he has had something to the effect of not a lot of shots, not a lot of makes, less than 10 points. He was 3-for-8, and he had a game in the Cleveland series, 3-for-8. He had a game in that same series where he went 2-for-8. He had a 3-13 performance against Milwaukee in round number 1. Last year against the Knicks in game number 1, he went 2-of-6. Last year against Milwaukee, he went like 4-of-7 in a game in that series. When he has been elevated to a star in this league, which the past 2 years I would say he is definitely a star. You knew he was going to be good after watching him in the early days of his career in Sacramento. You didn't know how good, but you knew he was going to be good. But as he is elevated to the position where you can call him a star in the league, on the borderline or on the cusp of being a superstar, he always has these bench performances. Like, this is just a dude performance. This is not a superstar that's carrying the weight of a franchise performance. And Madison Square Garden, bright lights, all of those things. But I feel like in game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, the bright lights of Madison Square Garden don't really bother you anymore. You beat them in Madison Square Garden multiple times last year. You've already beat them in Madison Square Garden once this year. Those lights should not bother you. The celebrities should not bother you. He just has this tendency to completely let the game get away from him. The killer that we saw in game number 4 was not the dude that showed up in game number 5. I can't call him a superstar if you constantly have these levels of inconsistency. Like, I need to see a lot more from him, especially if you're going to beat the Thunder. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's had one bad game the entire season, postseason and regular season. You're going to be competing against the MVP. I think Indiana's going to win. They're going to win in Game 6. I don't have any doubt about that. If you want an early play before the line starts to adjust, I would lay the 3.5 with Indiana. I already have. I'm very confident that the Pacers are going to win in Game number 6. It just bothers me that Tyrese Haliburton is not the guy that I want him to be on a regular basis. Not the guy that should be in the conversations for great point guards in the league, should be in the conversation for superstars in the league, because it's not just a one-time thing. Like Anthony Edwards in the Western Conference Finals, this was his first bad series of his career. Multiple games, not good. It's every single series for Tyrese Haliburton. This is a fact that most people will not know, Max, but I will share it with you. I will share it with our listening audience, because you guys know and accept me for the degenerate that I am. You could have made a bet at the beginning of this series for Tyrese Haliburton to score at least 15 points in every single game.
Who did I talk about? Was it you that I talked about?
It probably was me, because I've been banging this drum for quite some time now. That number was at plus 275. No superstar would give you positive value to score 15 points in every single game in a series. If you're given that same stat with Jalen Brunson, that's minus 20,000. If you're doing that same stat with like a LeBron, peak LeBron, that's minus 100,000. They're not even going to give you that number. That number is going to be like 25 for LeBron. It might be 20 for Jalen Brunson, but it's only 15 for Tyrese Haliburton. And in every single series, he has had one, if not two games where he has scored less than 15 points. This one came at a bad time. They could have wrapped this thing up, got the rest. You're going to need time to prepare for Oklahoma City. Just to figure out what they do defensively, how to attack them defensively, figure out how in the world to stop SGA. No one's been able to figure that one out at this point in time. They need a lot of help. They could have used extra rest. Instead, we get what we wanted, which is a game six. And I want a game six on Saturday. I'm laying Indiana that 3.5 over the Knicks. I think they win it in six. It just was not a good game from Tyrese Haliburton last night. If you want to jump in on the NBA, you can, 301-230-0980. If you're passionate about what you saw, maybe you're a Knicks fan that thinks they're going to win in seven. I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. 301-230-0980. Coming up next, though, I think the article that was written this week, Max, might have been about the Nationals, might have been a little bit of an inside job. I'll explain when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.